This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Vermeer Corporation, Melcher Dallas Schools, the Knoxville Hy-Vee, Pleasantville Schools, Sully Transport, and 3M. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Golf Cars of Iowa, City of Pella, Don's Heating and Cooling in Knoxville, Central College, Raceway Tire and Exhaust in Knoxville, Precision Pulley and Idler of Pella, and Iowa State Savings Bank in Knoxville and Melcher Dallas. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The kids are back to school. What's the difference between good students, not so good students, and great students? And what can we do to help them? In the seventh part of a 10-part in-depth series, let's go in-depth with Lowell Ernst, Director of Curriculum at the Pella Community School District. Lowell, what's the difference between a good student and a great student, and even a student that isn't so good? What's the difference?
To me, the biggest difference comes to some of those intrinsic motivations that they have. There's a lot of students that have a lot of abilities, but when you take that difference between being a good student to a great student, I really believe it's because they're motivated to achieve something in their life. And many times that comes from having a goal that they're shooting after. I know in my days as a principal, many times students that struggled didn't see themselves being successful in the future. And when a student sees that I'm headed to a certain direction, this is what I want to be, it really motivates them. They can engage in what they're learning because they can apply it to where they want to go. And I think that's a big difference, is a student has a picture of where they want to go.
Where does that motivation come from?
You know, a lot of times I think it's from modeling of things that they see around themselves. Just having worked and grown up in different districts, there are different careers you see available to you. And when you see yourself as being in a certain position in life because you've seen others that are in that position and you want to be there too, it makes you aspire to get there. If you have no modeling, if you have no people that you have that respect for and that goal that you want to shoot there, it really becomes a lot more difficult to see your schooling as relevant, because you don't know where it's headed or where it could take you. So I think that modeling is a huge piece of it. And also one of the things I think we are trying to look at for the future is how can we get kids into internship type experiences so they can see that, you know, that would really be enjoyable. I would like to do that for a living. I had an experience with it. I know that that's where I'm going and it's where I really want to be. Then maybe it's worth putting in the extra time, spending more money going on to school if I'd like to do that, and getting myself prepared to reach that level that I want to be.
They have to know the steps that they have to get there, right?
Correct. One of the things we've kind of outlined is a process of exposure, experience, mentoring, internship, and then employment. And when you start at that exposure level, I can only select from the careers and the aspirations that I know exist. So how do we expose them to as many of those as possible? Once they know that, how do we move on to that experience level? So that looks interesting, but how do I have direct contact with it? So I've done something that they do. My schooling is the way that they do it in life. So if I'm studying science, I work as a scientist. That I can get to the point of saying, thinking, I'd like to be mentored by somebody who really does that so that I can take some direct connections with them and then experience it and go out there into life and try it in an internship type situation when I get old enough.
And how about the poor student? Where do they fit in?
I think students who struggle in school a lot of times are not seeing themselves as a successful adult either. That can come from a variety of different places. Definitely there are students who have to really struggle more than others in school because they just don't have some of those abilities. But a lot of the times those students can make those jumps if they feel it's important enough to put in that extra time, that extra effort. I was just looking at some statistics the other day. A lot of students come to school with a huge advantage over others because of the experiences they had prior to reaching kindergarten. They've heard more words, they've experienced more books, they've seen more things in museums or in science museums, wherever they may have been. That's a huge advantage when you come to school having that background in the first place. We just call it existing background knowledge, things they can hook new learning to. So that helps a ton to do that. But then that motivation piece kicks in after that, where students are trying to say, okay, I know here's where I'm going, so how can I have myself in a position to get there? And if I don't have a picture in my head at all of where I want to go, then I don't strive nearly as hard to get there.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Pella Corporation, Marion County Auto Body, J&M Truck and Equipment Repair of Pella, iHealth Solutions of Knoxville, Tom's Collision Center of Pella, Twin Cedars Schools, and Pella Cooperative Electric. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting KNIAKRLS.com and the Radio Audio Media Player. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com in the Radio Audio Media Player and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Central Cellular in Knoxville, Pella and Sully, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Knoxville, Meninga Pest Control in Pella, Home Check Home and Landlord Services by Park Woodle, Plum Supply of Pella, Stan and Shirley with Stan's Drywall in Pella, and the Knoxville Raceway.
I continued my conversation with Lowell Ernst, Director of Curriculum at the Pella Community School District. Well, and some of the things that you just laid out with respect to experience, a lot of that comes with parental affluence, doesn't it? How much money the folks have. Is that the case?
There are some direct connections to that. Once again, that research will show that the number of words experienced by certain students in socioeconomic categories. Now, that's not a guarantee. That's an average, that there are students who come out of low socioeconomic backgrounds whose parents have done a ton with them, but it just doesn't always happen. And I think that's that background experience can have a lot to do with that, because especially those experiences where you have to go somewhere to do that, there's a certain financial requirement that you have to be able to get there.
Right. You have a whole different perspective on European history if you've been to Paris and London.
Absolutely. You can't relate to that just from a book. Now, we do have the advantage at this point in life of virtual tours and things that you can go online and do. Not quite the same as being there, but a huge advantage over what we would have had 20 years ago when those things weren't possible. So even when you think of yourself as a parent, well, I can't afford to do that. There are places you can go to the library or on your own computer if you have access, where you can experience a lot of those things in those locations.
Well, there are different kinds of experiences that you can provide, a wealth of experiences that don't cost a lot of money, too.
You know, I think one of those experiences that I hope we're not losing is just the Iowa work ethic. Kids who grew up on farms and just worked really hard for their parents. Those experiences make it seem like work at school isn't so hard sometimes. But if I've never had the experience of having to work hard, of being pushed to go beyond what I thought I could do, then sometimes I don't want to push myself. So I think it's still okay to push kids beyond where they think they can go. And that's an art sometimes as a parent, to know what that actually looks like. But I think we need to, because kids aren't going to push themselves in that realm unless we give them those opportunities.
What proportion of kids do you think just have that innate, I'm going to be great attitude?
You know, I don't know how much of that is really innate. I don't think it's a very high proportion, to tell you the truth. I think someone had something to do with that. All the way through school, there are experiences that kids have or people they encounter that can cause them to aspire to greatness or not. So I think as adults, we need to remember that everything we do makes a difference. And there are very few kids who are just born wanting to achieve. We have to help them to see why it's important to achieve.
So, in part, you're telling me that a poor student, a mediocre student, average student, or a great student is in part because of expectations the parents set. And modeling that the parents do.
You know, I think there are expectations that a parent set. I think there are definitely expectations that a community sets, that some communities expect all their kids to go on to college or to training of some type to get another job. When that happens and students rise to those expectations, they're going to have a much greater chance of being successful. So I think parents do that, and I think communities do that as well. And I think schools do that, that schools have the expectation that kids are going to achieve here rather than it's okay to just slide by. Those three aspects of a child's life, I think, make a huge difference.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Pella Regional Health Center, Brookwood Incorporated in Knoxville, Pleasantville Clinic, McKay Insurance in Knoxville, Verduft Agency of Pella, Marion County Fair Association, and Country Inn & Suites of Pella. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Knoxville Recreation Center, Strawver's True Value, Radio Shack and U.S. Cellular, Motor Inn of Knoxville, Two Rivers Cooperative, Digital Galleria Designs of Pella, and Mike's Towing in Knoxville.
I continued my conversation with Lowell Ernst, Director of Curriculum at the Pella Community School District. So if a kid is told it's okay to get by, then they're just going to get by. If they're told it's only okay to excel, then they're probably going to excel. Is it that simple?
Well, it's not quite that simple, but I think that's where it starts. Because what I have experienced in my years in education is if there aren't expectations set for kids, very few kids are just going to go do it on their own. There's got to be somebody out there setting the bar for them, saying, here's what it's going to take to be successful in this situation. And wherever you set that bar is where kids will usually achieve. I don't think we should ever sell kids short. They're capable of an awful lot. And when I look at our students that I experience in this school, I think a lot of kids are willing to rise to that point, but we have to make sure we set that point for them.
What should a parent say to kids? Should they say, oh, I want at least a B. I never want anything lower than a B. Or I never want anything below a C. Or you have to get all A's. Is there some kind of a balance there? Or do you say things like that to your kids? Do you advise?
You know, one thing I would say to kids, there's a researcher by the name of Carolyn Dweck, and she spent her whole career looking on kids who have a fixed mindset, or I was just born this way, and if I'm born smart, that's what I'll be. Or kids who have a growth mindset, that achievement comes from how hard I worked. And I think that's what I say to kids is, if you are successful, you must have worked really hard at that. What I advise parents never to do is say, you must be really smart at math. Because then if it's all coming down to whether I was born that way or not, I can't achieve. So tell your kids, if you're going to achieve, you have to work really hard. And when they achieve, say, man, you must have really put in the effort to get to this point. Because you don't do this unless you work hard. And I think that's the point we're trying to stress with kids, is there's a direct correlation between effort and achievement. You're not just born that way.
Great pianists just don't all of a sudden pull up to the piano and start playing.
Yeah, absolutely. It may be easier or harder for some kids than it is others, but every one of them has to put the work in to become great.
And so as a parent, it's not any good for me to tell my kid, hey, I wasn't good at math either.
That is a huge disadvantage to your child to say that, you know, if I wasn't good or good at it, you probably won't be either. That just gives them an excuse at that point. I think the message you want to send is math is hard work. And if you want to be good at it, you're going to have to dig in there and figure it out. You're going to go in and spend extra time with your teacher if you don't understand it and really figure out what this is all about.
So you just can't say, I wasn't good at that. I mean, even if it's truthful.
It's enabling your kid to fail, I think, is what it amounts to. Even if it was truthful, even if you were a struggling math student, that's not a license for your child to be a struggling math student. It's something that they might have to work a little harder at, but they need to work at it.
Do you know how many parents you've just told them that they're enabling their kid to fail?
Well, I don't mean to be mean to anyone, but by the same token, I think we have to face up to that factor that it's not just going to happen unless the effort's there. We really want kids to put in everything they've got.
And so then, in effect, you're saying learn from what you did. And those of us that think that we weren't very good at math, we probably all know deep down we could have worked a little harder at it.
I believe so. I'll put myself in that category. I think I could have worked harder at it and been better at it. But I think we all know that unless you do, you're not going to be successful. And that's the license we don't want to give our kids, is to say, I'm just not going to be successful.
Well, that's very profound. We just can't do that. And a lot of us just don't recognize that. We just sort of say it as it is. And we need to recognize the consequences of us, of how we say things.
Definitely. And I think also that consequence of telling your student that you just did well in that because you were just born that way, it takes all the satisfaction away from the fact that perhaps I can work hard enough to get there. And even in those situations I don't feel as confident in as I could, if I work harder at it, there's a chance for success. And we never want to take away that chance for success by saying you're either there or you're not.
Okay, is it okay to say things like, our family's good at music?
I don't think it's bad from that standpoint to know that your family has had a history of it. The thing I wouldn't want to follow that with is, so you will be too. Our family has always been good at music is fine because there's a history of that. Now, the expectation that you're either born into this family or not is what can be portrayed by saying, well, you're not good at music, so you really don't belong to this family. That's a thing that I really don't want kids to feel. Also, to follow, our family has been really good at music because look at all the time that we put in on that. Look at all the effort and the significance and importance we've put on music in this family. Those are things that I think need to accompany that statement.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program, The Kids Are Back, Back to School, is brought to you in part by Skuring and Udermark DePella, Knoxville Anesthesiologist Services, Sparks Auto, Iowa Dermatology, Pella Motors, Gata Enterprises in Knoxville, and Knoxville Insurance. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting kniakrls.com in the Radio Audio Media Player. It's that easy. Just visit KNIAKRLS.com and the Radio Audio Media Player and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, the Beatty Law Firm, Niall Hicks Attorney, Pella Christian Grade Schools, McGriff's of New Sharon, Knoxville Schools, and Twyla Wilson, Shackley Organic Supplements Provider.
I continued my conversation with Lowell Ernst, Director of Curriculum at the Pella Community School District. What if I have a hard time getting my student motivated? They just want to sit in the dark and play video games and do strange things kids do that, you know, we or our peers did. How do we motivate them if they appear non-motivated or are not motivated?
You know, it's a long-standing problem that we continue to work with every time. The first thing I think you have to talk to your child about is, you know, obviously, where you think you want to go in life. What is it that you want to have as your aspiration? Now, a lot of kids, when they're struggling, will look at you and say, I have no idea, or I don't know. But not to make it that easy. And then to start to maybe put your child in contact with some people that you know that have careers that could be of interest to them. Have them spend some time with them. If your child is good with their hands, have them spend some time with people who make things. If your child is a computer person who just loves to be there all the time, don't let them just play games, but try and find somebody who will spend some time with them that does that for a career. And maybe that child who plays computer games all the time has a great career track in that line. And can we give them something to connect that to so they can do that? The next step then that is a little bit more tricky is to let them figure out, how does your schooling have to do with success in that area? If that's something that maybe looks like it's interesting that you'd want to spend your life doing that, then how does your math class have anything to do with that? How does your industrial tech class connect to that so that you can gain skill in that area? And then maybe you'll be able to connect with somebody out in industry and you can get an internship with them and really do some things with it. And you know what? It could pay some pretty good money too. And if there's things you want in life to continue to get the better video game and those type of things, it's going to take discipline to be able to earn enough money to do those things too.
Now, what about classes that they don't see any value in? Let's just pick one out of the hat. So finance or, you know, accounting or something that they just aren't interested in, that just don't want anything to do it. They can't find anything of interest to motivate them to do it. What do you tell them with that?
You know, what we've told our teachers over the last few years is we've really had a focus on the whole relevance component, and we've asked them to lead each unit with what we call the big idea or the big question. And just an example, history is a question that kids look at many times and say, why do I need to know this? It's just a bunch of old facts. And we've got a teacher who used to teach about ancient Rome, and they'd memorize all the facts about ancient Rome. He finally turned around and said, is ancient Rome really the new United States? And will the demise of Rome be the demise of the United States? Well, when you teach with questions, you have a much better chance of motivating a kid to be interested because, okay, is our country going to fall apart? And is that going to leave me broke? And is that going to leave me without a career and a job? Those are things that they can connect to. And so I think on our end, it's contingent to us to teach with questions, to ask kids things rather than just telling them things all the time. And from a parent standpoint, that's one of the things you can try and do too. Now, if a kid's really setting their heels and saying, well, I know I'm never going to use that math class, it's more difficult to get through to them. But I think still you have to try and connect that to something they're going to do in life or something you've done with it and try and figure out ways to do that. Finance is a great example. Kids might not be interested in finance, but it could be the most important thing that they will do. If you look at what's been going on in our country for the last few years, lack of knowledge in that area has caused a lot of problems. And so to try and relate that it is really important to know those things and to be able to act that way. And to put it in real terms, you know, can you have them make their own budgets? Can you make them live on one so they have experiences with it rather than just head knowledge about it?
Well, one of the things that this all boils down to basically is curiosity. That kids have to have some curiosity about something, and teachers have to teach in a way that stimulates that curiosity, right?
Yes, and we continue to talk about, are we teaching kids to solve problems in unfamiliar situations? Not just that we're giving a problem, we already know the answer to it, and we're just waiting for them to get to the answer we already know. But we're giving them questions that maybe don't have a set answer to it, and they've got to determine different ways to do that and consider other people's points of view while they're answering those questions. It's not just about, here's my answer, but your answer may cause some harm to someone else. Are you still willing to suffer that consequence by coming up with the answer you came up with? And have you considered the consequences to those things? That's another element we're really trying to stress in our curriculum. We redid our vision and goals last year. It was all about that, all about teaching kids to think critically, to solve problems that they've never been in before, because that's what their life's going to be about. It's going to be about encountering problems they've not experienced before, where there's not a right answer, and they've got to figure out the best solution to it, knowing that it won't be the best solution for everybody, but it will be for your group, and what consequence is that going to have?
Well, all that sounds great to me, but it's almost seems like you're flying in the face of much of contemporary America where people don't do that. They just grab an ideology and hang on to it, and the facts don't really matter. All that matters is the ideology on whatever side, and you just follow it through. I mean, from our political leaders, that's what it seems like.
I think that's where some of the difficulty and compromise has come. You know, when we try and figure out, well, we know that ideologically this is the standpoint that I want to take, but without considering somebody else's point of view and refusing to do that, we have a tough time solving problems. And I think we've shown that in our society, that we're having a tough time solving problems. So, yes, I believe we are standing in the face of a culture that's maybe not doing this right now. But this is one of the places we think we can help that, is to help people consider how does a problem-solving process really come to solutions.
Okay, and so then what you're telling me is that situation in our country right now is a learning experience, is an opportunity for them to learn why that didn't work and why analysis and thoughtful consideration of other people's perspectives might be valuable.
I would agree with that, yes. So we're trying to figure out, how do we help kids to realize that there is a process to solving a problem? It's not just trying to make sure that somebody else comes up with your solution, but trying to solve the problem.
And so how can we, as parents, most help our students excel? What are the main points you want to make to us?
I think number one is helping your child realize that there's a disciplined process to learning, that you have to put the effort in and actually put in the time to come with that. Number two is anytime you can give your child experiences where it gives them background knowledge, where they understand multiple perspectives on life, I think that helps them to understand where they're going to come up with their solutions from. So they need to see those different points of view and those different perspectives. And then just from a practical standpoint, knowing that it's important to be involved with your child's education, and what that looks like is, do you know where your child's going to study tonight? Do you know how to keep track of the assignments that they have due? Do you know how to make sure that your child is doing things up to the effort versus just getting it done? So do you ask them questions about it rather than just, did you get your homework done? So tell me what you're supposed to know by that. Do you know what the big picture is here? Can you explain that to me, or did you just copy that out of the back of the book? Those are types of questions that are really probing things. Your child will look at you funny when you ask those, but that's okay, because we're not supposed to just be pals with our kids. We're supposed to be helping them learn, helping them grow and mature. And so those are all questions you need to continue to probe with and have that relationship with your child that asks those questions.
So we're back to the beginning of the interview. Only here is the parent that needs to be motivated.
You know, it is work to do that. It's a discipline factor as being a parent, just as it is discipline being the student. You're right. So all of us need to kind of look at that, and I'm a parent too, so I need to do that as well. Are we taking the time to be with our kids to ask those questions? And have we prioritized ourselves to the point where that's right at the top? We're going to take time with our kids to ask those questions.
Thanks to Lowell Ernst for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.